Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Friday edition. Well, it's Friday, but it feels like Thursday because there's a Monday game edition.
Monday games suck.
Yeah, we established that yesterday, along with watching gymnastics and going to practice and not staying long enough. That's where we started yesterday. Gotta be honest, more fun than what we're doing today. Edition. Scheduled to appear at 9:15. Wisconsin Athletic Director Chris McIntosh. Me being the capital J journalist that I am. I'm sorry?
He had a fun day. He had a fun day yesterday,
He did.
Huh?
He did. He sat through one of Eleanor's gymnastics practices, start to finish. I have a list of questions. I hope they elicit informative answers. That's my goal, edition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable, so you can move Wilde and Tausch into spot number one where it belongs.
On Spotify or no?
On the ESPN Wisconsin app, which is available both in the Apple and Android app stores.
It's a great app.
By the way, I did find... Well, we don't have any road trips to Rutgers scheduled, do we? Because there is a Spotify office in New York City, so maybe we can get an appointment with somebody there.
Well, I do think... I don't know if Rutgers is on the road, but next year in a... You know, I think part of maybe some of the arithmetic that Mac is using that I know a lot of Badger fans are irritated about in bringing Luke back. Rutgers, I believe, is on the schedule next year. Yeah, maybe it is. It's the birthplace of football up there in Piscataway.
Talk about a must win. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay.
That's a trip I don't... That's not a trip I always...
You're big in Piscataway.
Big everywhere. But UCLA, UCLA next year. Now, I'll be excited to get out there. I know that.
I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and in his undisclosed location. The Packers Hall of Famer and former Wisconsin football walk-on and NFL draft pick, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. You and Chris McIntosh were teammates, line mates, friends, countrymen.
Yep.
What did you think of yesterday when he announced that Luke Fickell will return next season as the Badgers coach? What did your initial reaction?
Obviously I wasn't surprised because I've been hearing this and being around the program. I had a sense that it was leaning this way. There was a couple of weeks ago that I don't know if I would have felt the same. So. Mm-hmm. This is obviously a tough period of time for Mac, for everybody involved with Wisconsin football, because the season it's been, I guess, very disappointing is probably the nicest way I could put it. And there's still four games to go. But I do think you, at this point, with all of the other coaches that have been fired in Division I, big football, I think you factor all of this in, and it's, you know, in my opinion, and we can ask Mac as in, when he joins us. I think the interesting part to this is, what is going to happen next? What do we need to see? And I thought with some of Mac's, I know he did an interview with Jesse Temple on Badger Connect, and he took a lot of heat. He's, you know, whether it was the letter that he wrote a couple weeks ago, he's trying to be supportive of his coach, and he's also trying to balance the fact that he understands everybody's super disappointed. It's not the easiest balancing act. I get that. But fans have every right to be as disappointed as they want. This has been disappointing, and I'm guessing, you know, we'll continue to see that. So I obviously, from my perspective, I want to see this thing be incredibly successful. I am rooting as hard as I can, but you also have the reality of what's on the ground and what's happening. So Mac has been steadfast. He's, you know, obviously, you know, had conversations with a lot of people to help inform this decision moving forward, and he is stuck with this. And now, you know, with Pete Thamel's report yesterday, that is what is going to happen. And now, what are you going to do about it, and how do you figure things out to not have another season anything close to what we're having this year? And the challenges are huge moving forward.
Yeah, look, I'm a couple things. One, and I'm going to ask Chris this. I don't understand. Like, you did the letter thing. You've given him a vote of confidence earlier. The chancellor has talked about. I don't understand why we felt the need to do this again. Basically, I don't know how he's going to answer that question,
I guess, Jason, it's definitely at the top of the list of questions to ask Mac. But has there been any definitive, like, he is kind of like, I ain't going in Wolf of Wall Street. I ain't leaving. Like, there hasn't been the declaration, and I think part of this, too, you lost a couple of recruits, and, you know, throughout the last couple of weeks, people want certainty. They want to understand where your program is headed. And, by the way, every one of those kids on this team that isn't graduating, they can go. Their portal's opening up in 2 months, so
it's true.
I understand what you're saying. Obviously, after Maryland, there was a lot of noise about what was happening because that loss was devastating to fans and to everybody else. So I think he was trying to give a vote of confidence without having to go out and do it. The letter, you can ask him about that. As far as why do this now, I do think it's to try to finish this season off on a strong note, and I think it's probably to, you know, kind of rally the troops and say, this is what we're doing, this is our plan, and I'm certain that there's a lot of Badger fans that are not all that excited about that plan. And it's up to these guys throughout, and it's both Luke and Mac and everybody, needs to go out and sell it. This isn't going to be a, we're just going to turn this around. You gotta win hearts and minds back, because right now, hearts and minds, they're not there. And that's going to be another challenge in what's already, you know, obviously a challenging landscape with everything that's going on in college football.
Yeah, look, I was saying this to Homer and Chewy this morning because they were the, I guess one of them's not a cousin sub, but the cousin subs on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I don't cover the White House. I don't cover politics. I don't cover wars. There are capital J journalists that do that. I'm going to try and be both respectful of Mac. I know he's a good friend of yours, but there are some questions that need to be asked. Now, am I going to take a combative approach to this? No, because
Who's the most combative political correspondent you've ever seen?
I was going to say Jim Rome and Jim Everett. Call me Chrissy one more time.
That was disrespectful. So, I don't know if that was combative.
I'm not going for that angle. But what I was going to say is that there are questions that need to be answered. And I'm not guaranteeing answers from Mac. I don't know how he's going to handle this. I watched his interview with Jesse Temple. I saw the stories elsewhere So I have a working knowledge of what might be coming. But again, my goal is to ask questions in a manner that elicit answers. Now, whether I will succeed or fail, I don't know. But I am looking forward to the conversation. I appreciate him choosing to spend some time with us. But you could put me among the skeptics that retaining Luke Fickell, and I don't even know what the greater financial, one of the other questions I want to ask is, what exactly is this, you know, greater financial commitment, support, what does that mean, look like? So we'll talk to him coming up, but again, I don't think, at least I hope, when we're done, people aren't saying, oh, what a bunch of softballs. Now, it's not going to be, I am not going to be combative with him. But I am going to be honest with him, and I'm going to try and ask him the questions that need to be asked. So
I was just going to say, I think, you know, it's obviously, you're a big J journalist, and throughout this process, the questions and the fans are not going to be happy until this thing gets turned around. And the opportunities to turn this around, you have 4 weeks, but realistically, I don't know, you know, if we're just being realistic with some of the injuries, I don't know how much turning around. If you could find a way to win Saturday, that would be absolutely fantastic. I've seen how much strife and just losing is miserable, man. Like, I think people think, well, guys are getting paid all this money and everything else. I'm telling you right now, yes, people want to make money. Mm-hmm. But it is miserable. And there is a weight that is just on top of you. And when you have this kind of season going, I saw Greg Schiano, and this is what really I'm hoping that Luke and his staff and his players get an opportunity in these next 4 weeks. Schiano beats, I think, Northwestern. I don't remember who they beat. And Greg Schiano's coached in the NFL. I don't know where he's all coached. He goes across, and they won a football game on a last-second field goal. And you'd have thought he won the Super Bowl because they had lost 4 or 5 in a row. And it just, you see how important that is. Doesn't matter. He's made millions of dollars. That's what I'm hoping for in these last 3 or 4 weeks, that they can find a way to do that, to unburden from all of this losing and misery that this season has kind of afforded them.
Greg Schiano, wasn't he the one that when he was the coach of the Buccaneers, that he like had them still like going after offensive linemen
after
on kneel downs?
Yeah.
That was a win against Purdue a couple of weeks ago where he was celebrating
Purdue.
Won the Super Bowl. I watched that ending live.
People look at it and they think, oh, my God. I see it. I understand it. And, by the way, I've had more people text and tweet at me about the, you know, when we announced that Mac is joining us. And I get it, man. None of us are happy. You think Mac's happy? You think Fick's happy? And if there was a solution, and I'm sure we'll ask Chris this, if there's a solution, we knew if going out and bringing somebody else in was going to guarantee us 10 wins next year, I don't think we'd go. But there's a process, and there's going to be some frustration as this thing's going, and there's a lot of work that has to be done to flip this thing around.
All right, so he is scheduled to appear next, and then we'll talk about how that plays out afterward. We can't do anything, though, until we talk about Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, all the winning they do.
It's a lot of winning, and it is a top-notch operation, and we love Gina, and we love Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And when it comes to your home, just do the smart thing. Trust Gina Della and her great team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month, you can score a whole house. New energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month. Zero interest for up to 72 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to an incredible defense played by Pella, stopping all of those drafts. And you better get moving, people. There's snow coming. As a matter of fact, I think that Washington game, which should help Wisconsin, going to be snowing Saturday. Cold air. Get your stuff together. Get it moving. It's great time. Zero interest all the way for 72 months. Don't wait. Schedule that free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Chris McIntosh, the athletic director at the University of Wisconsin. Not Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
And as promised, joining us now, it is the athletic director at the University of Wisconsin. This is Chris McIntosh. Mac, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. I'm good. How are you?
I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you. Love it when you come on the show and we talk about Tausch and the old days, and I fret about the non-revenue sports, and we talk about how Chili said the game room's closed and clowns are funny and all that kind of stuff, and that's not what today's about. So we appreciate you joining us. But I do have, and I know Tausch does, have a lot of questions after yesterday. So I'm going to dive right in. And I'm going to begin here. I think you know that all this is going to come from a place of respect. But I unfortunately have a job to do sometimes, too. What I don't understand, frankly, and I'd like you to help me understand it, is why was this even necessary? Like you've been pretty clear about your intentions throughout, and I don't understand the timing of it, and I don't understand the reason behind feeling the need to announce this yesterday. Can you explain to us why you felt this was important and why you felt it was important to do now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jason, that's a fair question. And I think, where this came from in my mind was, we need to create clarity around the direction and the future of our program. You know, clearly there have been many, many conversations throughout the season between Luke and I, between the team and I, obviously with Luke. And there's a point given... the speculation and just the noise around the program about what might be, in which I felt it was necessary just to create clarity. And I think I owed that to, first and foremost, to our players as we look to the future and as we, retain the talent on our roster that can help us win in 26. But as importantly, I think we needed to create clarity for, our recruits, those that have committed to us, those that have bought in to the direction we're going. I share in the frustration and the disappointment around how this season has gone. And I think it's important for everyone around our program, including our fan base, to know that we're obviously not satisfied with where things are at, and we can identify the issues that need to be corrected. And I think those issues can be addressed in a way that can allow us to be competitive in the Big Ten in 2026.
So I know there were a series of interviews that you did, and you said something with Jesse Temple yesterday that has gotten a lot of attention. And if I'm being honest, I don't think the attention has been particularly positive. So I want to give you an opportunity to expound on it. You said, and I'm quoting here, "The priority for me is to continue to grow the program in a way that puts us in a position to achieve those expectations. That comes in many forms. It's not limited to wins and losses." It's those final seven words that people have been critical of. Can you expound upon that so they understand what you meant there?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked the question, and I'm happy to clarify. I mean, make no bones about it. I mean, the goal is to win, and the goal is to be competitive in the Big Ten, and the goal is to be competitive in the Big Ten in 2026. I mean, there's no getting around it. You know, the conversation that I was having with Jesse was a long conversation, and, those seven words may not align perfectly with the point or the conversation that the direction of the conversation we're having, but the goal is to win. It always has been to win, and we've not shied away from those expectations that we embrace, that our fans embrace, that, I mean, those expectations that Tausch and I were a part of creating a long time ago. I mean, that's what we're here to do. That's what our goal is. That's what our objective is. And so I'm glad that you gave me the opportunity to clarify that, because I don't want it to come across that we're complacent. I don't want it to come across that we're satisfied. It's important that everyone around our program and our fans understand, completely disappointed with where we're at and motivated to fix it, motivated to win in 2026, and completely understand the urgency around it.
So, and especially because, and obviously you know this, you know, when you fired Paul Christ and you hired Luke, you talked about that this was about winning championships. And I'm not saying it takes time for everything. So obviously the college football championship is not on the radar at the moment, but the results to this point haven't been obviously what you wanted. What gives you the confidence that this will change?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that, I mean, there are in the era of college football that we're living in right now, obviously there are all kinds of challenges, but there are some real opportunities. And one of those opportunities is that you can turn things around quickly. And we've seen this at other places. And I don't think that Wisconsin should be prevented from being able to do that ourselves. And I think, you know, our priority is we need to retain the talent that's on our roster, and we need to get really aggressive around acquiring talented players that can help us, you know, achieve our goals, like I said, as soon as 2026.
So, and that's where I am struggling in the new era of college athletics, is because when you talk about retaining and bringing in talent, what you're really talking about is money. And you talked about a greater financial commitment moving forward. What exactly, like, where does that come from? Obviously, there's the revenue sharing component. There's got to be more than that, though. I mean, I think back to Ryan Day coming out a few years ago and saying that Ohio State needed $13 million a year to compete. Is there a number that you have in mind to close the gap? And then B, like, if you're counting on your football athletic supporters, what is the sales pitch that you make to them that you want them to invest their money in the program? How do you go about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an embracing of the world that we're living in now. And like I said, there are challenges, but there are as many opportunities. And it does require money. It does require resources to be poured into the program. And, you know, that starts first and foremost with the rev share, and we've maxed out our rev share. We've fully participated in that. Going forward, it's about creating opportunities for our players to maximize their NIL opportunities in our market. And I think that's an area in which we can be tremendously successful. We have a strong business in that area. We've got strong partners in that area. This is a strategy that overall, it's a simple one, but it's not an easy one to execute. It's going to require all of us, and it will require our partners who have our sponsor partners who have already seen the ability for our student athletes to represent their brands and create value. And it's pouring gasoline on that fire that has already begun. I think, you know, to answer your question around our donors and our supporters, you know, we've been I'm tremendously grateful, and we've been blessed to have a lot of support. You know, it's worth noting, at the same time that we're going through, you know, navigating today's world of college football, we're also building a $285 million indoor practice facility, and the support that we've received for that project is well beyond our expectations, what we could have ever dreamed. And so we have a tremendous amount of support. It's now focusing that support in the areas in today's world that can help us be successful, like I said, in 2026.
So, Mac, when you've had these conversations with Luke, and I'm sure there have been some tough ones, what are some of the things that he's kind of talked to you either about the frustrations? Is it been, obviously, we all know about the injuries and some of that, but what are the frustrations and what are some of the things that give him confidence that he can get this thing turned around next year too?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Tausch, when you look at this season, you know, first of all, there are no excuses, but injuries are a reality, and that's something that obviously has been a huge challenge for us this season and in past seasons at key positions like the quarterback. There's no getting around that. I think, you know, the strategy that we executed to create this year's roster resulted in, at the beginning of the season, a really competitive starting lineup. The challenge that we've had this season is half of that lineup isn't in the lineup because of real significant injuries. And so, you know, depth has been a challenge for us, but at the same time, you know, while we're playing really young, talented players, 16 first and second year players are playing significant minutes this season. You know as well as anybody that comes with a lot of challenges, but it comes with a lot of opportunities for the future. I think you can start to see some of the talent that Luke has recruited to Wisconsin on the field, and you can see a glimpse of the future. Is it perfect? No, it's not. I mean, we're living through some of those growing pains, but I think you can see a base or a core of players, really talented players, as a result of Luke and the staff's ability to recruit talented high school players. That's an area that we've done well in. That's starting to take form, and I think that'll pay dividends in the future.
You just mentioned high school players, and one of the criticisms that we've heard and we saw, there's an article, I think, in the Journal Sentinel about the relationship with high school coaches and in-state Wisconsin kids. It's a tough balancing act because you're going to have to win now and you need juniors, seniors, older players. But is that something you've talked to Luke a little bit about from a getting out in the community and that outreach to high school coaches? Because there has been a lot of outside criticism about that.
Yeah, there has. And I mean, it's, you know, for the record, it's incredibly important that we have a strong presence in the state of Wisconsin. There's no secret that there's talent in the state of Wisconsin that has been and will continue to be key to our success for this program. I think it's important to note, you know, there isn't a single facet or aspect of this program that hasn't already begun, that we haven't already begun or will scrutinize. Every aspect of the program will be evaluated and scrutinized, and our ability to recruit in the state of Wisconsin and to benefit from strong relationships with high school coaches is one of those.
And the, you know, another one, just from a talent evaluation standpoint, this has become, college football has become more professional as this thing has continued to unwind, and you're talking about, you know, having to raise revenue and to continue to do that. How do you look at it from a, just from an in-house standpoint with your talent evaluation, whether it's your GM, do you need to ramp that up more? Or how do you kind of, when you're looking through your evaluations, how do you find ways to continue to improve on the evaluation of those portal kids that you do bring in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the areas that causes me to be optimistic about our chances to be successful in the future. You know, since the construction of the 25 roster, which for the most part concluded, you know, after the first portal, for the most part, a couple of exceptions, after the first portal in January last year, you know, we've added four or five positions in football that really begin to mirror, you know, an NFL-like front office. And we've actually recruited and retained some NFL talent in that space that's been really helpful. So I feel like, you know, we have the infrastructure in place, not to say that it's static, not to say that we won't add to it or add more talent there, but we have made investments in that since the creation of last year's roster that I think put us in a position to hit the ground running at the conclusion of this season.
Talking with Badgers Athletic Director Chris McIntosh on Wilde and Tausch. All right, Mac, I have a few more for you. And you mentioned, you know, you and Tausch and being part of building what Wisconsin football has become. I'm curious, like, I feel like you two are exactly the type of players that this program in the previous college football era prided itself on developing, right? An in-state scholarship offensive lineman and an in-state walk-on who they forgot even had another year of eligibility left, and then he finally got the start and everything worked out great. I'm curious, for the program to get back to not just where it was, but to build beyond that, the building a wall around the state, but especially this is offensive linemen. You, I know there's great running backs that came out of here, great tight ends. Do you look at that especially closely, given your history as a player on this team? This program generated a ton of NFL talent. Is the offensive line something that you look at because it's your home as that's what we have to get right first and everything else falls into place?
Well, I think I'd answer that question in two ways. Obviously, you know, from my own personal perspective, you know, I have a vested interest in the offensive line being successful here. I think that you know, we benefit from a tremendous legacy of developing players from not just Wisconsin but just the upper Midwest. Certainly, offensive linemen. You know, Tausch and I are products of that development, and the list is long. And so that's obviously an area that that has, you know, the offensive line, you know, we've had 7 or 8 iterations of a starting lineup across the offensive line this year. You know, I think back to the time when Tausch and I were part of that, and, you know, there was 1 or 2 missed starts in a 4-year period of time for 5-man offensive line. It's a stark contrast to where we are today. So obviously the offensive line is important to me, but beyond that, more importantly, you know, this program wins and loses as the offensive line goes. And that cannot be disputed. When you go back and look at our best teams, they've had the best offensive lines. And when you look at the times in which we've struggled up front with the offensive line. So there's no getting around it. That's key to our program, the success of our program. It's also key to the system that Jeff Grimes is trying to install and run. And the future and the success of his system and our ability as a team to be successful, like I said, begins with the offensive line. So that's an area that's critically important. I think, you know, we have a desire and we understand the importance to recruit offensive linemen, you know, from our footprint and develop them. And that's been an opportunity for us for decades and decades. I think, you know, in this era, given, you know, some of the needs that Tausch touched on, you know, the need for more experience and some veteran players, I think, you know, there's an opportunity for us to complement. Those two things can complement each other, those two strategies.
Okay, Mac, a couple of other things, and there's no avoiding this question because this is what I hear from alumni and fans all the time. I just, again, want to give you the chance to be clear on this. All they talk about is the buyout. And I just think it's important. If you truly believe the right thing here would be to go in a different direction with your head coach, you have the financial wherewithal to do that. You could do that if you wanted to, but you're not doing it because you believe in Luke Fickell. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Jason. I think in terms of evaluating the program and our future, you know, first and foremost, the decision that needs to be made is, do we have the right people in our program? Do we have the right head coach in our program? Do we have the right staff in our program? That's the decision. And that's where I feel confident going forward. You know, Luke Fickell still possesses all the same qualities that made him a great hire 3 years ago. He's still a competitor. He hasn't forgotten how to coach. He's got a fire and a determination to get us through this and to win soon. But that's the first factor that needs to be evaluated. And so if I felt that there was a change that needed to be made, I wouldn't hesitate in making that change. This program means everything to me. I mean, this program changed my life. I have an intimate understanding of how important it is to not just our athletic department, but our university, to the state of Wisconsin, and personally to me and to the players that I played with and anybody that's ever put a helmet on in Camp Randall. I fully understand the importance of it. And if I felt that we needed a leadership change, I wouldn't hesitate. I just feel like the best path for us to position ourselves to be successful as soon as 2026 is with Luke Fickell as our head coach.
Do you and Luke talk about other potential staff changes? Is that part of the equation here that you guys have to evaluate, or does that just come down to his decisions? How does that part of it work?
I would just go back to what I said earlier, that there isn't an aspect, there isn't a single aspect of our program that won't be evaluated and scrutinized. And the questions that we are asking of everyone, not limited to our assistant coaches, everyone around our program, is how can you bring value to the program so that we can be successful in 26?
All right, Mac, one last thing. So I'm obviously a guy who's covered the NFL for a long time, including going out to Seattle once upon a time and seeing Mike Holmgren, who was trying to be a GM and a head coach. I've dealt with Ron Wolf. I've dealt with Ted Thompson, now with Goody. Can you help me understand how you can mimic the NFL model? I don't know enough about Marcus Sedbury's role. I don't know what you're kind of thinking in terms of long-term, what a GM role at the college level looks like. Can you walk me through, because it does feel, let's be honest, you guys are basically the NFL now in a lot of ways. So how does that work? What's your vision for that? How does it work now, and what needs to maybe change as you try to move forward in this landscape in terms of general manager of a football program?
Yeah, I think that's the evolution that not just our program, but all programs across college football are facing or are embracing, and it's one that we embrace. You know, Marcus has dedicated himself fully to football. I think, you know, his administrative duties have been basically absorbed by the other leaders that we have in our department. So he's in football all the time right now. And I think, you know, to your question about how the structure plays out, there are certainly parallels to the pro model, to the NFL model, but there are places in which, you know, college is unique. And this isn't a pro model to the extent that, you know, a GM, you know, picks a roster and hands it to a coach and tells them to coach the roster. There's more of a partnership and a need for trust to ensure that those players fit in a way that allows us to be successful and that our coaches can go out and recruit and be excited about recruiting. And so it's a partnership. It requires trust. It does require all of us to evolve and to embrace this new world. And I think, that's where there's opportunity for us, and that's another area in which it causes me to be optimistic.
So, Mac, as you met with the team and when you have these discussions that you're going to retain Luke, what are you looking for in these last four games? Because there's seniors that have had, obviously, a tough season. Can you kind of just go through what are you looking for in these next 4 weeks? Because now that this decision is made, all of that speculation ends. What are you looking for from this group?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Tausch. I mean, you know, we've got a third of the season in front of us, the last third of the season in front of us. And, you know, first and foremost, you know, this team and these players have battled through a tremendous amount of adversity and challenge. We talked about the injuries, but, you know, beyond that, you know, the external criticism and pressure around the program is one that's, you know, as you know, Tausch, that's a challenging environment to operate. And I've been proud of the way that this team has gone about their business and competed and worked and given this program everything they have, I mean, clearly the team is together. Clearly, you know, they have not been lost. They've come together to fight through this. What do I want for the balance of the season? I mean, first and foremost, for these players, I want to see them win for them, so they can relish in that and feel that. I mean, that's what we always want. And but beyond that, I want to see them keep competing, and I want to see them stay together and push through. And I think, you know, fighting through that adversity is something, you know, as Tausch, as you and I know, you know, those 3 years before, you know, we achieved success in the late 90s, those were not easy years, and there were difficult times. And I think without pushing through those difficult times, I'm not sure that we would have achieved the level of success that we did. That's what I want to see this team do.
Mac, how tough has this, you know, just the fan reaction? I don't know how much of it you hear. We obviously hear a bunch of it, but both with Luke and with on your end of this, and I'm sure that's part of kind of when Jason asked you in the beginning of this interview about the timing of it. How tough has that been just on both on you and on Luke?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the fan reaction is one thing. I think just to zoom out a little bit, I mean, the reality is, you know, I have expectations, and I have expectations for this program, as does Luke. And, you know, to be able to focus on those and find solutions so that we can be successful, knowing that we're not there right now. And I feel the pain as much personally as our fans do. And I understand that this is not where our program should be right now, that there is a long road ahead of us. But, you know, that's what weighs on me. It's my own accountability when I look within, and I know what the potential of this program is. I know what the expectation of this program is. And when you're fighting through a year like the one we are, it's one that just eats you up from the inside. And that's really been the, you know, it's both a painful thing to go through, but it's also a very motivating thing to go through. And you know, I want to compete, and I want this program to compete. And, you know, we're just leaning into the adversity to push through, because there's no other way to do it. There's no other way but to push through this. And that's where my mind has been.
All right, Mac, most important question for me, because I enjoy doing the show. In no way is Mark Tauscher in any way a candidate for any role in the program in terms of getting it to where you want it to be. You are not going to be hiring your former offensive line mate in any capacity, so I can keep him and keep doing the show?
Like I said, Jason, every aspect of the program is under evaluation, and we'll do everything we need to be successful.
Mac, I know this wasn't particularly fun for any of us, but I did think these were important questions to ask you, and I appreciate you being candid with us and always making time for us. I can't wait till we can get back to asking silly questions about chili-isms and me worrying about the non-revenue sports. Thanks, Mac. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Thanks.
That is University of Wisconsin Athletic Director Chris McIntosh. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never.
If I felt that there was a change that needed to be made, I wouldn't hesitate in making that change. This program means everything to me. I mean, this program changed my life. I have an intimate understanding of how important it is to not just our athletic department, but our university, to the state of Wisconsin, and personally to me and to the players that I've played with and anybody that's ever put a helmet on in Camp Randall. I fully understand the importance of it. And if I felt that we needed a leadership change, I wouldn't hesitate. I just feel like the best path for us to position ourselves to be successful as soon as 2026, is with Luke Fickell as our head coach.
Wisconsin Athletic Director Chris McIntosh moments ago here on Wildy and Tausch. Tausch, look, obviously, you and Mac have been teammates. You've been friends for a long time. No one, certainly not you, certainly not him, certainly not Fickell, certainly not the boosters, not the people who pay for the tickets, including the ones that haven't renewed their season tickets, are happy with where things stand. When you kind of take the 30,000-foot view of our conversation, do you feel any differently than you did before? I mean, there's just, to quote Natasha Bedingfield, okay, he's made the announcement that Luke Fickell will be back next year. There's a lot to be that is still unwritten on what's going to happen. How do you view it?
Yeah, I mean, I think from just hearing it and kind of seeing what he did, what Mac did yesterday, it's, you know, in business, and this is a business, let's not kid ourselves, you need certainty, and you need to have kind of a path that you're selling that you're going to grow your business. That's the job. That's where this administration, along with Luke and everybody else, they got a ways to go, because, you know, season ticket renewals, and I have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like at Camp Randall. I've seen the last couple games. There's big challenges ahead. So what is going to spur optimism for this group? And what Mac told us and he told people yesterday, there's going to be more commitment on the retention, both of staff and of players. The bottom line is, and I asked this question, I don't know, you know, you can judge by the answer of what how Mac answered it. Evaluating the talent and getting portal guys that come in here and make a big impact, because the tough part about this, and Wisconsin for years has been a bring guys in, develop them, you get 2 or 3 years, and you kind of go through that cycle, right, where you got older players teaching the younger players, the older players graduate, the younger players grow, and it's a rinse, repeat. Well, college football turned its head. That is not the model anymore. Good young players that don't play leave. Good players that are playing and become great players, there's potential they leave because there's more money out there. So it's everything is more disjointed, and I think Wisconsin has tried to kind of figure out how to navigate one and the other, and it's not really done a great job on either end of it. And now you have to kind of have a plan. And the evaluation, and this I think is going to be the most important part of this. The money is obviously huge because, just like it is in the NFL, that's your determining factor on a lot of stuff. You could love Wisconsin. I do think the emphasis on high school coaches and in-state is important.
He did not dispute that, I thought, in your – that was a good question.
I was just going to say that I thought Mac answered that. Now, answering questions and doing – you know, you could say that's we need to see it, right? And the coaches and the players here need to feel it, because I do think that is an important part moving forward. It does matter, and it means a lot to me. Obviously, Mac went through it. It is a different era, and, you know, my career at the University of Wisconsin would not happen in today's climate. It just wouldn't.
Right.
And there's a lot of other young players that you'd say the same thing. How you figure out that balance and find a way, that's the solution to what's going on. It's a complicated solution, and unfortunately, the clock is ticking. Like, Mac, and you made this decision. You now tell the recruits, this is what we're doing. You tell the current players, because it's not as simple as just going out to the portal and grabbing 10 great players, pay them a bunch of money, bring them in. All right, great. They have to perform immediately, and they have to understand what this place is about. And you need to have guys that are here that can help along with that. There is going to be, I believe, I don't know how much turnover this roster is going to have, but neither does anybody else. And I think what Mac was trying to do by making this announcement, and why when you asked that question, I was intrigued. You have to give some certainty to guys so that they know. Then it comes down to funding it. And then it comes down to making sure you have the right players in this system. That is a complicated equation that, unfortunately, you don't get. You're not going to get 2 years to figure that equation out. It's got to be figured out quickly.
So a couple things that, you know, I have some that I would like to do over. I have some that I wish I would have asked that I didn't. I didn't think that.
What's one you wish you would have asked you didn't?
Well, I mean, first of all, the phrasing on my question about the buyout, I'd like to redo that one. Because, you know, we always talk about this in terms of answers. What's he going to say? Yeah, I mean, if we had the money for the buyout, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd be going to get Jason Eck. Like, he's not going to say that. So the way I did that, I'd like a do-over on that. It does bother me that it feels like the answer is simply money. Right? Like, Oregon has, in my opinion, a very good coach. Right? Dan Lanning is a very, very good coach, in my opinion. But they also have Phil Knight, Uncle Phil, as they call him, at Oregon, and his bottomless Nike pockets. I have learned. I didn't know this, but people have told me this. Indiana is jet fueled with their finances by Mark Cuban, right? I don't know. There's got to be more to it than just we can pay top dollar, right? We're going to dedicate the financial resources. There has to be more to it than that. And I'm eager to see what beyond the financial part of this is going to change.
Well, Jason, here's the tough part. Because, you know, financially, there's always going to be someone with more money. Like, Wisconsin is a great institution. We have a lot of generous donors. We have great businesses that support University of Wisconsin Athletics. But that is not going to be – that can get the playing field semi-level. I don't think we're ever going to be able to compete with the Oregons and the Ohio States and the Michigans.
Right.
I don't – that is not going to be the issue. The issue is, do you have the patience and the resources to develop and kind of keep this program where it was? Because right now we've obviously slipped. We're obviously down where I don't think many of us thought we'd be. And you now have to build back to get to a certain level. And the timeline is it's rolling, baby. Like, the timeline is rolling. And we'll see what those resources look like and where they're coming from and how that's going to all work. Obviously, the commitment that, you know, Mac has gotten from people, whether it's the, you know, from the university and then obviously donors and, you know, businesses, it still comes down to evaluating getting really good players here.
Right, yes.
Because you could pay, I don't know, and I,
Nate
I
Hobbs.
Was going to ask this. I don't
Banks.
Know. Yeah, Nate Hobbs and Banksy, or you get Xavier McKinney. I mean, you
right.
joke about it, but that is really.
Right. No,
the bottom line, if you look at it, Indiana, yes, they've spent a lot of money, and Cignetti's getting a lot of love. He knew his guys. He pulled a bunch of his really good players from James Madison. He paid them, and they've figured out their formula. But there, I want to say somebody had mentioned, at 36 transfers that they brought in, 32 of them have been key contributors on mm-hmm. their football team that is obviously dominating the Big Ten.
Yeah,
you have to look at it from our perspective at the University of Wisconsin through 3 years. I don't know what those numbers are, but I do know this. It isn't that good. And is that money? Is that – I don't know. But that is where when Mac's talking about evaluating everything, that's where that – that to me, if we're going to turn it around, that evaluation part of it is as important as anything, even probably as much as raising more revenue.
All right, we'll talk more about this. We still have one more segment in the 9 o'clock hour. I didn't want my look. I am a Paul Christ guy. I am a Jim Leonard guy. I tried to take this in an unbiased approach. The one question that I would have asked with a do-over that I didn't was frankly, you know, and I kind of asked it, but I kind of tiptoed. like, look, I am not their target demographic for NIL funding. I donate to the UW Carbone Cancer Center and to our Tom Mulhern Scholarship at the Journalism School. That's where my donations as an alumnus of the University of Wisconsin go. My question is, how do you convince the deep-pocketed alumni and boosters that their money is being well spent, right? Because when people that are wealthy spend their money, they do still want a return on their investment. Now, that doesn't mean like in a
liberal
business. They want wins, right? They want a competitive football team if they're going to – they don't want to just throw good money after bad and see your team still losing. So I the issue that I have, and he wasn't – I don't know how it would have been asked to get him an answer, but like, do you feel like what has gone on during Luke's tenure – do you feel like you have a good sales pitch to your wealthiest supporters that this is a good investment for you? Or is it just, hey, we really need you guys to come through for us so we can try and fix this? Oh, I'm very curious to see what this looks like moving forward. I have nothing personally against Luke Fickell. I struggle with the idea that if Paul Christ had embraced this Wild West, if maybe things would have been different, or if there had been faith in Jim Leonard that he could do this, a guy who played in the NFL for a decade plus and is a Wisconsin guy. I don't know. We don't have a time machine. We can't go back and get a do-over on that. But it is – I don't think it's as easy as just going on a media blitz and talking to us and ESPN and Jesse Temple and – the State Journal and whoever else they're going to talk to or have talked to. Right now it's just words because that's all you've got. And you got four football games left that, let's be honest, they could lose all four of them and finish the season winless in the Big Ten. That is a hard sales pitch to make to people to buy tickets, to people to contribute to your NIL funding. It's a tough sell to everybody. And I'm curious to see how it goes moving forward. You should tell us about American Family Insurance before we move forward.
Well, I will. And Badger fans, join my wife and I, Sarah, as we team up again for another year with American Family Insurance to raise funds towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards the therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country and our state. Plus, this is the beautiful part of American Family Insurance. I think this is our fourth year we've done this. They match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000 through the end of this year. So when you're looking at holiday giving and you want to do some philanthropic things, we raise $50,000. American Family Insurance matches it. That is $100,000 that goes towards those therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of kids. Visit amfamkids.org to donate today.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I understand you guys you've heard me use the analogy that our show is like a restaurant and our specialty is Packers and Halloween candy and parents watching sports and whatever other nonsense might come up. I understand that. I don't need to be told that the Packers are playing the team that beat them twice last year. That is also the team that won the Super Bowl. I understand that game is on Monday. We had the athletic director at the state's primary university on the program with a football program that has yet to win a Big Ten conference game this year and may not do so, and he has decided to retain his head football coach into 2026. I think that is a newsworthy situation. We asked a series of questions of him. We would like to get fans' reaction to that. So we are aware of the Packers game on Monday. We do have an extra show between now and then. But we will certainly discuss the Packers during the course of today's program.
Jason, what do you think? What do you think the percentage of Badger fans believe in Mac's vision for this next year?
I was taught during my Lutheran upbringing at St. Paul's West Allis and Greendale Martin Luther, faith is a belief in things unseen. Based on the way the football program has gone during the Luke Fickell era, what you would have to be demonstrating is not faith, is faith. It would, because there's no evidence that what Mac said when he fired Paul Christ and when he hired Luke Fickell about this is about competing for championships and winning championships, Big Ten championships, national championships, etc. That there's no evidence, based on what we've seen, that this program is capable of doing what he promised. I think that the landscape has been far more difficult to navigate than people thought. I think, in fairness, and again, this is not anything personal against Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell's success at Cincinnati came in a different era of college athletics as well, right? Doesn't diminish what he accomplished, but in that way, he's no different than Paul Christ. Paul Christ won a hell of a lot of football games around here and was on the cusp of a college football playoff spot. So, again, we know there's lots of coaches that did it the old way, including Barry Alvarez. Go boo in a bar. It's really blank and hard now to do it. And money is a major player in whether you succeed or fail. So if the message today, which I think it was, is we're going to invest more and the money part is going to be taken care of, I'll believe that. I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently on it. But then once you invest more, then Luke Fickell better win. And I don't know what the timeline is for that. But that's my takeaway from this. So that's kind of where we stand. I do want to open it up for calls for a little while, even though it's a Friday. And our phones do work on Fridays.
What?
Believe it or not. The Carbless Talk and Text line is 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We will get to the Packers. We understand why you come to this show. This is, again, like the Brewers in the playoffs and occasionally other topics. This is significant enough that we're not going to be all Packers all the time here.
Go boo in a bar.
What we are going to be is listening to Tausch at the moment tell us about Prize Picks, which, hey, there's some Packers talk, some more or less on Josh Jacobs and rushing yards.
Jacobs and Jordan and, that wide receiving core with Tucker and Musgrave, oh my. And whether it's football, basketball, or both, Prize Picks makes every game more exciting. Been playing Prize Picks for a while. Fun and simple as it get. Which players are going off? Which ones are overhyped? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. You can turn your takes into cash. All you do, pick more or less on at least two player stats. Get them right. Cash in. Prize Picks also has stacks. You can pick the same player up to three times in one lineup. You want more Giannis points, rebounds, assists? I think I would after that poor performance last time out. Bank on Giannis, and you can do that only on Prize Picks. Deposits are fast, easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI, and you get $50 in lineups after your first $5 lineup. That is, again, code WI. Prize Picks, it's good
to be right. All right. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text line. As Jerry Odd points out in the YouTube comments, I'm not quite sure how this is going to go.
I can tell. Here's what I think. And I don't think we're going to have more than one caller that is on board with what Mac is thinking. That's what I think is going to happen. I hope I'm wrong.
The Prize Picks projection is 0.5 callers.
I got six on hold already, so just so you know, people are fired up.
What do we put it at, Jesse? I can't do that. What do you? What would you say? Nobody. I don't think anybody's going to call and say, "Oh, I love the." Yeah, I just don't. I could be wrong. Is 0.5 the right number?
That are in line with Max vision. That's the
yes.
projection here.
Indeed.
Yes.
Are you taking more or less?
That if that projection was on Prize Picks, it'd have the little goblin guy with the red face, because that would be a little bit of a long shot to try and hit that one. Yeah.
Well, let's take a look. Let's find out.
We'll find out together. Terang to hit a home run any given night. That's a little harder, but it might happen.
We'll find out together. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text line. When we kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll do that in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.